Good afternoon, everyone. Happy to have you with us. I'm your host, Rod Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. This is Local Matters. Pastor Ron, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Dwight. Man, I tell you what, it seems like it's been forever since we've gotten together.
But I always love it.
Yeah, I do too.
It's I always feel better when we finish and then when we start. Not that I don't feel good when we start, but it is energizing.
It is.
To sit around the Word of God and get it stirred up in your mind and your thinking. And in particular, the chapter, the scripture that we've been talking about is, you know, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. When the Jesus' disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And he began to teach what we call the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. But before we pick up where we left off last time with the Lord's Prayer, you know, there's a verse in James that says, you know, let's talk about the importance of prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, we hear, you know, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, what can that mean to you, to me, to our audience, just on a daily, regular, practical basis?
You know, Dwight, one time I talked to a man that pastored a large church, maybe 4,000 people, and I think our church maybe at that time was 100 people, 150 people, and we'd have prayer meeting, and we'd probably have 8 or 10 people that would come, and he asked me to come at a time when we were having prayer meetings. So I told him, I said, well, I can't come to prayer meeting because we have prayer meeting. He was asking for a community prayer meeting. And he said, out of that, he said, well, how many of you usually get to come to prayer? I said, I don't know, sometime 10 people, 8 people, whatever. He said, I can announce we're going to have a prayer meeting and one person will show up out of 4,000 people. And out of that many people. And so the thing that I think that we have to realize there is a lot of times people don't feel comfortable praying because when they come to the place of prayer, when you begin to sense the presence of God, you begin to get intimate with God, you begin to connect with Him. If you're not real careful, your own condemnation, sins will begin to worry you, and then you'll want to draw back. But see, that scripture in James says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And where most people fail in prayer is they don't know they're the righteousness of God as a gift given by Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what happened in your life 5 minutes before prayer, 5 years before prayer, 10 years before prayer. You as have been given the gift of righteousness that you can come before God prayer with confidence at any time. And so we need to realize whether it's a prayer meeting or whether it's just you and God, you know, God has his arms wide open and saying, I don't care what you've done. Come to me. I don't care what's going on in your life. Come to me. Jesus said, come to me. The scripture in Hebrews 4 says, come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, we have to come in regard to making our requests known unto God with the confidence of that righteousness.
Wow, so righteousness, you know, I can just, and I've said this and thought this before myself, and folks in the audience right now, I'm not righteous. I don't feel righteous. I don't act righteous. Righteousness is not based on our performance. It is a gift based on the performance of Jesus Christ and us having accepted that into our lives.
Yes, and when we accept that righteousness, Dwight, that's the reason we can, as Jesus said, come to the throne and say, Our Father which art in heaven. That's the reason we have the boldness to come to prayer, and whether it's get down at our knees at our bedside or come to prayer meeting at church or gather with a group of friends to pray or whatever. We have to be people to realize we have the right, the authority, the will of God, the desire of God for us to come boldly. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. He didn't say it was the throne of condemnation.
Yeah.
He said, come to the throne of grace that you may be able to receive help in a time of need. And, you know, Dwight, I find that when I have sinned and when I haven't sinned, it's a time of need. I need God all the time. And so the thing that I would encourage our listeners today is, when you come into prayer, come with that confidence, come with that rest, come with that gift of righteousness. It's not of you. It's not of your behavior, whether your behavior has been good or bad. It's of God's gift. It's a gift that God's given us so that we can fellowship with Him and talk with Him.
And you know, and I heard this, and I appreciate what I did learn growing up, but, you know, and I heard it and said it, well, you know, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace.
God.
Well, yeah, we were an old sinner. We got saved by grace, and now we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, and that righteousness, Dwight, on an everyday level, is to give us confidence and boldness.
Yeah.
So that we're not carrying away from God or from a problem or whatever. We are as bold. The scripture says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Well, I am not righteous in and of my own strength. I am righteous because it's a gift of God given to me, and I humble myself to that. And when I humble myself to that, that gives me the confidence and the boldness I need to continue going on with God.
And the rest of that verse says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Talk about avails much.
That's King James English, but it means that it brings about fruit. It brings about the answer. It brings about whatever it is you're facing. When you can go boldly to the throne of God to receive grace and mercy to help in a time of need, when you go to that throne, you're going to get the wisdom of God to know how to solve a problem, get around a problem, help somebody solve a problem, maybe even stay away from the problem. I mean, there's a multitude of ways. There's a multitude of ways that God can get that answer to us if we can just go boldly to the throne.
Hey, we're glad you're with us. This is Local Matters for Friday afternoon. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. We've been looking at for the last few weeks the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray when they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." It is in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9. And Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And Pastor Ron, we pretty much covered those.
Yes.
We talked about the names of God and the names that God calls himself, and that's what that can mean to all of us. And then we talked about last week, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And what I saw in that is, God, you know, I want you to have as much control of my life as you have control of events in heaven.
I love that.
Humbling yourself.
I really love that. And I think once Christians can wake up to the fact that Jesus prayed this prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," it is the will of God that his will be accomplished on earth. And, you know, we sing songs about when we all get to heaven, no more sorrow, no more sighing, no more crying, no more dying, no more sickness, no more tragedy, no more electric bills and all that.
Yeah.
And so we need to realize that if Jesus prayed and said, "God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we have to realize that is the will of God.
Yeah.
Prayer begins when we know the will of God, when we have faith in the will of God, when we recognize God's will. And we say, "Well, how in the world can you know God's will? Are you that smart?" No way am I that smart. But I know that it's written in the Word of God. His will is his word.
There you go.
And he won't contradict what he says in his word.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, I just want to park it there just a minute, because back to what I said earlier about God, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And I saw out of that, "Lord, I want you to be in charge. I want you to have control of my life as much as you have control of events in heaven." You know, we talked about this before, but I just kind of feel compelled to stop right here, not stop, but explore this a little bit. You know, if God's will happens on earth in my life, it's up to me.
Yeah.
It's my decision. We hear it all the time, Pastor Ron. You know, God is in control.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if God, and you know, and I'm not trying to diminish anything anybody's ever said, but if God is in control, he sure made a mess out of it.
Yeah.
There's a difference between God being in charge and in control.
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, we say God is in control because we dodge personal responsibility. One of the things that we always recognize is if any tragedy happens, even if tornadoes happen or tragedies happen, we say, everybody, well, you'll hear them say, and it sounds noble to say, "Well, God is in control." You know, well, God is not in control of those tornadoes and the tragedies and all the things that bring sorrow and pain to people. If you look at God's will, it's the Garden of Eden, where there's comfort and peace and pleasure. And God's will, let me say this. That doesn't mean you're never going to have to suffer for God's will, but the suffering for the will of God and suffering with cancer and sickness and disease are two different things. And people have tied those together and said that, you know, if they suffer with a sickness or they suffer in a tragedy or something, well, that was God's will for them to suffer. No, Peter said, "Arm yourself with this thought. He that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." That's suffering in the flesh is the struggle that we have when we're trying to resist sin and walk with God, resist temptation. That's the suffering of the gospel. The suffering of the gospel is not, and the suffering of the gospel may mean personally losing your life. There's people that are beheaded for the gospel. But that's not talking about sickness and disease and car wrecks and God breaking your legs to teach you something. Or I heard this guy one time, Dwight, broke my heart, tell this guy that God took his child just to teach him something, you know. And that is such a sad way of looking at God, you know. And so we have to realize when we're talking about thy will be done or God controlling things, our wills are involved in this. And if God is going to control us and have us to demonstrate his will, then we're going to have to be subjected to the will of God in order for that to happen. We're going to have to say, God, I choose to submit myself to your will, to your ordained will, whether I like it or not, whether my mind is telling me, well, this is okay, I'm going to say, no, God's word is your will, so whatever you say in your word is what's okay.
And you know, and God, and we're not saying that God is not sovereign.
Oh, no.
God is sovereign, but in his sovereignty, he has said, you choose.
That's right.
He has said, you decide. God loves us too much not to give us a choice.
Yeah.
So in his sovereignty and the rules that he sets up in his sovereignty, because he's sovereign, he lets us decide. So he is in charge because he's sovereign, but he says, really, you are in control because you decide. Is that not right?
You know, Dwight, when my children were little, if they were out playing in the side yard or something and threw a baseball through my neighbor's window, well, obviously, I'm in charge, but I wasn't in control of that situation. And being in charge means I would then follow up and check with my neighbor and fix the window and do what I needed to do to help. Well, a lot of times people have tragedies, car wrecks and things, and then God shows up to help, and they think, well, he's in control. Just because he shows up to help doesn't mean he's the one that was in control or caused the problem. And so when Jesus said, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, he really meant that, Dwight. He wants the will of God. He wants us to live life. Three things that we have to realize that came in the cross through the blood of Jesus was we were redeemed from eternal death. We were redeemed from sin. We were redeemed from eternal death. We were redeemed from sickness and disease, and we were redeemed from poverty. And those are the three main things. A lot of things fall under those different categories, but those are the three main things that God redeemed us from when Jesus died and was raised from the dead for us.
You know, and we are exploring the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer or the Model Prayer, and that we're going to walk into the next portion of that prayer where Jesus taught his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. You stay with us. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. This is Local Matters. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. We are looking at the portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verses 9 through 13. Jesus' disciples noticed that Jesus was a man of prayer. And he said, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. So the words that he gave him have become pretty common as it relates to knowledge of Scripture. We call it the Lord's Prayer or the Model Prayer. And as we continue to walk into that, Pastor Ron, he taught them to pray after, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then he said to them, pray this way, give us this day our daily bread. Talk about what that means.
You know, Dwight, that is so rich because, you know, I've dealt with a lot of people over the years that have such fear of this particular line. It's like, they are afraid, like if they have a savings account, you know, or a retirement account, or they buy insurance, or if they do things for future protection and reference and all that, then they're denying this daily bread. They think it only has to be daily bread. Well, really, he said in Proverbs, and I'm talking about taking the balance of the scripture and looking at the scripture through the whole part of the cross, not just one part. That's what I do with scripture. I bring every scripture I find to the foot of the cross. If it doesn't fit, then I don't follow it through, you know. But he said, consider the ant, thou sluggard, who having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her meat in summer and prepares for the winter. And so we have to take that scripture in balance of give us this day our daily bread. And so there's wisdom in realizing that daily bread is great. We want daily bread, but it's foolish not to prepare for the future. And so when he prayed this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, he wasn't saying that we shouldn't prepare or do anything for the future. What he was saying, don't be anxious about the day. Don't be anxious and worried about tomorrow. Don't be anxious. Give us this day our daily bread. And when he's talking about this bread, we're talking about, I mean, the bread is so much more than just food. It is food, I believe, with all of my heart. But I think it's bread of wisdom. I think it's the bread of life. I think it's the bread of God being involved with our lives, because Jesus called himself, I am the bread of life. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about give us this day our daily bread, there is so much involved here in this portion of scripture that we want to realize. He said, I am Jehovah Jireh. It is, you know, he said, hallowed be thy name. And so we looked at those names, and one of those names was Jehovah Jireh. And the word, we didn't talk about this much, but Jehovah Jireh means the God who provides, but it also means the God who sees. Ooh, he sees ahead. And when Jesus was praying, give us this day our daily bread, he was talking about so many things here in regard to being content with the day's affairs, not being foolish about the future, realizing that God will provide for us today. I mean, there is so much here, Dwight, in this daily bread that we want to look at it deeper. We want to talk about it a little bit more.
You know, and I like that. I like that part about daily. You know, yes. Daily, because I have been at this place in my life. Maybe you have, maybe people in our audience have. It's like, wow, once I just get this car paid off, then I can be happy.
This is a good part.
When I get this kids raised, then I can be happy. Once, if I can just have a relationship, then I can be happy. If. And even as Christian people, sometimes I find that we're just always one thing mm-hmm. away from being happy. If this can be solved, and worrying about or thinking about getting anxious about, you know, what might happen tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we take ourselves through that process. And then it doesn't happen, but it affects our emotions, our psyche, our ability, as if it did happen.
Right.
So to me, that word daily means a lot, because God measures our life in days. This is the day the Lord hath made.
Yes.
I will rejoice and be glad in it. And so he's saying, you know, enjoy today. Enjoy the abundant life today. Mm-hmm. Learn to trust me today, because after all, you know, everything else is a resource, but I am the source.
And you know, Dwight, the thing that you've written a book called The Relax Factor, and if you don't have a copy of that, I would encourage you to go to Amazon.com. You can find that book by Dwight Henry. It's called The Relax Factor, and he deals with a lot of this anxiety and worry about the future, all the things that we deal with in stress and how to overcome that. And Dwight, I really believe if we take Jesus to heart, if he asked the Father to give us our daily bread, would the Father deny the request of that prayer?
Oh, wow.
Think about that. I mean,
and he taught us to pray that way.
And he taught us to pray that way. So if Jesus is teaching us to say, Father, we need our daily bread, we never should be ashamed of asking for the things we need, we desire, and we want. You know, that's the three things that I think a lot of people forget. The psalmist said that he would give us the desires of our heart. The psalmist also said in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then in Philippians, he wrote and said, my God shall supply all of your need. There, your needs, your desires, and your wants are covered.
That is so good.
If we will realize that God is not opposed to giving us our daily bread.
Yeah.
If our daily bread requires a car, if our daily bread requires sustenance, a home, a way to get our kids to school. If our daily bread requires that, just have the confidence in your heart that God wants that for you just as much as you want it. When Jesus prayed this prayer, I believe he not only had those disciples in mind, Dwight, I believe he had disciples in mind all throughout history. Mm. Give us this day our daily bread.
Hey, we're glad you're with us this afternoon. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. We're walking line by line, demarcation through demarcation of the Lord's Prayer. And we've arrived at that where Jesus taught his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And I think one more thing I want to explore with you a little bit, Pastor Ron, is of course, that has to do, as you've so well pointed out, maybe getting our needs met.
Yes.
And getting our needs met. But I love the way, so I've had the tendency in my life, I hate to admit it, but, and maybe we all have, where when I start to pray, you know, I break out my needs list first of all. So yeah. I'm gonna go, okay, here's my top 10 things I need today. And it's okay to ask God to meet your needs, but I love the way Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. First, they've spent some time, God, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy mm-hmm. name. Just praising the Lord, praising the name of God. God didn't need that. He's not on an ego trip, but we need to spend some time reminding ourselves yes. of who God is and who he declared himself to be to us. Start your prayer that way. And then he says, is thy kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, right now I'm coming to you acknowledging who you are, who you said you are to me, and I want you to have complete control of my life as much as you can have the control. Then I've stirred up my heart. Then my faith is increased. Then I focused on who he is. I focused on giving myself to him. And then when I come to him for my needs, give us this day our daily bread, I'm in a better faith yeah. position to ask him for that because I've started. And it's no, I don't think it's any big coincidence that God, that Jesus taught his disciples to pray in that order, man, because if I just jump in and say, God, I need $30 today. I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah. But if I've spent some time saying, God, you are Jehovah Jireh.
Yes.
You are Jehovah Sidkenu. I give myself to you today. It's a whole different attitude about prayer.
It really, and Dwight, that really makes such a difference in the preparation of our heart.
There you
know,
go.
if you think about it, if you walked into the president's office, you wouldn't just sit down and say, I want this, this, this. You know, obviously, you know, when we come into the throne room of God, Jesus is teaching us here how to approach God. He's, and like you said, God's not on an ego trip that he needs all this back scratching. God is saying, bring yourself to remembrance of who I am.
Yeah.
Bring yourself to remembrance that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Bring yourself to remembrance that I am the great I am, the God that's more than enough. Bring yourself to remembrance that I will protect you. I am your deliverer. I am your rock. What we're doing, Dwight, we're writing something on our heart.
There you go.
So that when we're going to be like the four men that brought the lame man to Jesus, we're going to tear off the roof to get to him.
There you go.
When they were tearing off the roof, he saw their faith. When he saw their faith, he began to deal with them. Well, when God begins to realize we are really persuading our hearts and these things are coming from our heart, it's not just something that you know, just something we're praying out of a religious prayer. I never will forget, I heard this minister tell this story one time about, this was in slave days, and he said this minister was standing by and he heard this black woman, they were fixing the auction off her daughter. And he heard this black woman pray this prayer. She said, God, if I were you and that was my son or daughter, I'd get him out of that. and she prayed that prayer and lo and behold, when the minister heard it, he bought the slave for the
daughter.
For the daughter and gave her back to the mother.
Wow.
And so,
is that a picture of Christ?
And in the picture there of that. And so when we realize that God is for us, but we have to get to the place that we're willing to persuade our hearts of that and get past all this religious garbage, get past all this stuff about our performance. As we said earlier, Dwight, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Well, when we know we're the righteousness of God, we will have that confidence like that black woman did to pray it that way to God. It's like we're praying, God, give us this day our daily bread. We're not ashamed to ask you. We know that you care about us. We're persuaded our hearts of it, and we know that you're going to sow this into our lives.
And you know, I believe, and you talk about confidence, I believe if all of us could get established on what God really thinks about us.
Yes.
We'd never have a day of feeling badly about ourselves again. I mean, God, and the fact that God's not ashamed of us.
No.
God is for us and not against us. And when he says, give us this day our daily bread, it's saying, you know, trust me today.
Yeah.
So don't take on the cares of tomorrow. Trust me today. And we're going to pick it up right there next week.
All right.
Happy to have you with us. Join us next week, same time for Local Matters.